Welcome to a bonus episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. I'm your host, Colleen McCracken. I'm thinking of starting a sort of flute or music-based book club. So this is going to be the first episode in that. This is going to be bonus content. So if you're listening to this, thank you for supporting the podcast. This first episode is going to talk about a book that is actually really hard to get your hands on. So I'm going to talk about it and read some excerpts from it so we can all share in the knowledge that it provides, since it is so hard to get a hold of. This book is called The French Flute School, and it was written by Claude Dorgueil. I hope I'm saying that right. There are a lot of vowels, and my French is okay, not excellent. And this was translated and edited by Edward Blakeman. Translator's Preface. As this book was originally written with a French audience in mind, various details of the French musical scene are taken as understood. Some explanation may, however, be useful for English readers. Throughout the period 1860 to 1950, the Paris Conservatoire dominated musical education in France. Lessons at the conservatoire were given in classes. There was no individual tuition. And until 1945, there was only one flute class. The number of students in the class varied from time to time, but was generally around 12. Entry to the class was by competitive audition in October of each year, depending on the number of vacancies available, often only two or three. Following various internal assessments, public examinations, concours, were held each July. A set piece was prescribed for each instrument, and there was also a piece of accompanied sight reading. A jury of internal and external examiners, chaired by the director, could award a first or second prize or first or second certificate of merit to each candidate. The word prize in this context denoted the result of the competition against a required standard, rather than between individual candidates. It was therefore possible for more than one first prize to be awarded in the same year, or, on occasion, for it to be withheld altogether. French musical life centered on Paris. For the flautist, there were numerous theater orchestras and several concert orchestras, providing freelance employment. There were also many small concert halls and fashionable salons, fewer than after the First World War, with opportunities for chamber music. The most coveted positions, however, were in the orchestras of the opera and opera comique, which were government-subsidized and offered the security of full-time employment with a state pension on retirement. In addition, there was the prestigious Société de Concert du Conservatoire, a professional orchestra attached to the conservatoire, which gave an annual season of Sunday concerts between November and April. Membership of this orchestra was by election. The most successful flautist, therefore, was likely to have gained a conservatoire first prize and to hold a position at the Opéra and the Société de Concert. In such a musical climate, an intriguing blend of conservatism and enterprise, the French Flute School was born and flourished. Its origins have never been in doubt. All roads eventually lead back to that most unique of flautists, Paul Taffanel. Questions concerning the relative merits of Taffanel's successors and whether the school can still be said to exist or not are more controversial. The writer of the present book, through his long association with René Le Roy, in collaboration with him on the Traité de la Flûte, 1966, here proposes one set of answers. For those interested in pursuing the subject further, Christopher Stewart has provided a comprehensive, revised discography of the flautists discussed in this book, and I have compiled a select bibliography giving full details of sources quoted in the text, and a number of additional ones. I would like to express my thanks to Trevor Y. and William Bennett for generously donating supplementary photographs for this edition. My particular thanks are due to Monsieur Claude Dorgueil for much interesting conversation on the French Flute School during the translation of this book, and for allowing certain corrections and modifications to the original edition. Edward Blakeman, London, June 1985. Author's Preface. The scope of this book, as indicated in its title, is a study of the art of playing the transverse flute in France from the middle of the 19th century, beginning with the figure traditionally regarded as the founder of the school, Paul Taffanel. Over the years, the French school has assumed all the characteristics of myth or legend and fallen prey to all kinds of mistaken assumptions. Various factors have contributed to this: its distant origins, the absence of recordings before the final years of the 19th century, and the persistent reference to Taffanel's authority. Although this cannot alone explain the continuing popularity of his flute method, I would suggest, in fact, that this school no longer exists, and I shall hope to justify what I mean. The term school, moreover, despite the understanding implicit in its wines, the term school, moreover, despite the understanding implicit in its widespread usage, remains fundamentally ambiguous. Does it mean the unified and unbroken handing down of procedures and styles, compatible, however, with a diversity of individual talents? Is it the chance concurrence of new techniques and aesthetics of performance which contrive to live on for a while? Or is it only the temporary validation of some artistic trend born of a particular social and cultural climate? These are the questions which arise about the French flute school. I shall attempt to assemble all the facts as they appear and breathe life once again into this unique period of the flute's history, extending over a century. First, I must unravel the web of historical information so that the relevant details can be extracted. The reader will, I trust, bear with me and not find this aspect of my study too tediously unrelated to music. That miracle of the moment, possessing body and spirit but instantly evaporating, for which the performer pays the price of untold hard work. So apart from the translator's note and from the author's note, the book starts on Paul Taffanel. The author states, Taffanel's life and career has been well documented by Marcel Frémoy in his article for the German encyclopedia, Die Musik in Geschichte und Gegenwart. My German is really bad, so sincerest apologies to everyone who just heard that, particularly if you know how German is supposed to go. So much peace and love to you. The main part of it is therefore quoted below. Paul Taffanel was born on 16th September 1844 in Bordeaux and died in Paris on the 21st November 1908. His father, Jules Taffanel, taught him the flute and solfège. After playing in a concert in Bordeaux in 1857, he was advised by Paul Gercy to continue his studies in Paris. He became a pupil of Louis Daru in 1858 and continued lessons with him at the Conservatoire when Daru was appointed professor of flute there in 1860. Taffanel was also a pupil of Henri Rebet. He gained first prizes for flute in 1860, harmony in 1862, and fugue in 1865. His first public appearance was in 1861 at the Concert de Jeunes Artistes, Concert of Young Artists, conducted by Jules Passeldoup. That's a fun name. From 1862 to 1864, Taffanel played in the orchestra at the Opéra Comique. From 1864 to 1890, at the Opéra, first solo flute from 1876. And from 1865 to 1892, at the Société de Concert, first solo flute from 1869. In addition, he undertook concert tours to Belgium, to England, to Germany, to Russia, and to Switzerland. The world of chamber music owes him much. In 1872, he founded the Société Classique, a double quintet of strings and wind, with Jacques Armingaud, Edouard Lalo, and Léon Jacquard. And in 1879, the Société de Musique de Chambre pour Instruments à Vent, Society of Chamber Music for Wind Instruments, which gave six concerts a year in Paris up to 1893. The repertoire included music by Handel, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, Schumann, and there were numerous premieres of works by contemporary French and foreign composers. Taffanel retired from playing in 1893 when he was appointed professor at the Conservatoire and chief conductor at the Opera, where he had been on conducting staff since 1890. From 1875 to 1893, in recognition of his talents as a teacher, he had been a member of the Conservatoire Examinations Board for Wind Instruments. In 1896, he became a member of the academic board, and in 1897, professor of the orchestra class. His pupils included Philippe Gobert, Gaston Blancard, Louis Fleury, André Lepe. From 1892 to 1901, he conducted the Société de Concert, and from 1893 to 1906 was chief conductor at the opera. At first glance, this catalog of biographical information scarcely distinguishes Taffanel from many other famous musicians. Certain other facts must be taken into account to demonstrate how he marks a break with the old tradition and a point of new departure. Theodold Baim's first period of work on flute construction was from 1825 to 1830. His first comprehensive monograph on the subject was published in 1847 and translated into French in 1848. Previous to this, in 1838, Victor Koch had presented a paper to the French Institute entitled A Critical Examination of the Comparison Between the Ordinary Flute and the Baim Flute, in which he enumerated the many defects of the traditional 6- or 12-keyed flute. Its uneven tone, difficult fingering, poor intonation, criticisms previously made by Mozart. Most relevant to this present study is his claim that the tone of the Baim flute was different from that of all other ordinary flutes, without exception. We can easily appreciate this nowadays on hearing excellent copies of 18th century flutes. We can easily appreciate this again nowadays on hearing excellent copies of the 18th century flutes. At about the same time, Louis Dorux, flautist in the orchestras of the Opéra and Société de Concert, became enthusiastic about the new flute and practiced it secretly for some months. His reappearance as a soloist with a Baim flute was evidently a great success with audiences, but it was not until he succeeded Toulouse in 1860 as professor of the Conservatoire, where he imposed the Baim flute, that the use of the old flute declined rapidly, in France at least. We have already noted how Taffanel entered the Conservatoire at the same time as Dorux and gained a brilliant first prize in 1860. Toulouse was to remain, however, a bitter opponent of the new flute right up to his death in 1865. Close examination of the repertoire and of various flute methods would no doubt reveal changes in performance technique and style at this time. Suffice it to say that Baim wrote much music which would be problematic, if not impossible, on the older flutes. Now, my copy is actually missing the next two pages, but I think we have enough to talk about for a little bit. I want to start with I have a very long document called Paris Conservatoire Profs and Concours, and the document is 8 pages long. The first professor at the Paris Conservatoire for flute was François Devienne. So you may know François Devienne from his compositions. He studied with Félix Ralt. And Devienne also played the bassoon. He was not just a flutist and composer. He was also a bassoonist, and he played the bassoon at the Paris Opera. He wrote many successful operas in the 1790s, and he played in the military band of the French Guard. He was a sergeant, and he taught the children of other military band members in its Free School of Music. The Free School of Music became the National Institute of Music and, later, the Paris Conservatoire in 1795, making him the first professor. Devienne was appointed an administrator and flute professor for the Paris Conservatoire at its founding. Devienne wrote Method of Flute Theory and Practice in 1793, and he was a member of the Concert de la Loge Olympique Orchestra, which is the Freemasons. And Devienne taught at the Conservatoire from 1795 to 1803. Now, I believe this person was his assistant or like the professor of the second class rather than the first class, Jacques Schneisitzofer. No idea if that's right. Again, I apologize. I can only sometimes pronounce French names. I am on a constant lifelong journey of betterment. Anyway, we're going to use his first name, not for any lack of respect, but Jacques played flute and oboe in the opera, and he played in the band of Garde Nationale. The third flute teacher, we had a lot of flute teachers in 1795, okay? In fact, we had one, two, three, four, we had five. I wish I knew more about why But there were five of them. So on to number three. Number three was Antoine Hugo. He wrote six flute concertos, six flute sonatas, and other works for the flute. He began a method of flute for the Paris Conservatory, which was completed by Wunderlich, and he passed in 1803. And he passed in his position. He did not retire before he passed. The fourth teacher, who started in 1795, was Nicolas Duverger, or Nicolas Duverger, peut-être. He was the second flutist in Concert Spirituel in 1773, and he performed in a Symphonie Concertante composed by Haydn in 1786. I don't know much more about him, unfortunately. And we already mentioned someone named Wunderlich, again, German, who completed Hugo's method of flute for the Paris Conservatory. This was the fifth professor who started in 1795, Johann Georg Wunderlich. You know, this is a bonus episode, so I hope that you care more about the content and less about the pronunciations. So Wunderlich studied with Felix Raut. He was a member of the Concert Spirituel Orchestra. He became a regular soloist with them as well. He was the second flutist in the Paris Opera, and he quickly became principal flute and remained there until 1813, when he was succeeded by Jean-Louis Toulou. He taught Toulou, Berbiguier, and Guillou. Now, you've probably heard of Berbiguier for his etudes. You may not have heard of Guillou, and you heard a little bit about Toulou in the excerpt reading. Now, in 1816, Guillou, Joseph Guillou, became a professor of the flute at the Paris Conservatory. He had studied with Debienne and Wunderlich. He played at the opera and formed a wind quintet. He toured Europe and ended up settling down in St. Petersburg. First flute in the Imperial Theater Orchestra, teacher at theater school, composer, and publisher of The Russian Artist. And the first Concours piece that I was able to find ever was under Joseph Guillou in 1824. And that was Berbiguier's Fifth Concertino. Following Guillou, Jean-Louis Toulou in 1829 became a professor of flute. Now, his father was the bassoonist in the Paris Opera and a professor at the Paris Conservatoire. Jean-Louis studied at the Paris Conservatoire since he was 10 years old, and he was involved in the manufacture of the flute. Now, all of the works that were chosen for the Concours from 1832 all the way to 1859, when Jean-Louis Toulou finished his tenure with the Conservatoire, were written by him. So we had several solos, grand solo, grand concerto, sixth grand solo, tenth solo, 11th solo, 12th solo, obviously not the most interesting names. Fantasy Opus 99, Fantasy on Marco Spada, Plaisir d'amour, Fantasy, 15th solo, lots of works by Jean-Louis Toulou. So in 1860, we got Louis Dorhu, who was somehow also known as Vincent Joseph van Steenkeist. I would love to know more about that situation. That's very different. Anyway, he studied with Guillou, who, if you recall, Guillou studied with Wunderlich. So we've got this kind of like Germanic moment happening. Where was I? Louis Dorhu. He taught Paul Taffanel. He played at the theater, the Théâtre de Vérité. He was a solo flutist at the Orchestre de la Société de Concert du Conservatoire de Paris. He was a leader in adopting the modern 1847 Baim flute. He performed Baim's designs from the 1830s, and he's the origin of the Dorhuki. He was awarded the Légion d'honneur by Marshal Vaillant in the name of Emperor Napoleon III, which gave him the title of Imperial Knight. Now, the Concours under Dorhu were a piece by Tulu Altez Lindpaintner. That's cool. Tulu Dohu Bame Tulu Brichialdi, and once again Tulu. And most of the Tulu works were pieces already composed and used in Tulu's tenure. Following Daru, we had Altez. You probably know Altez from his etude book. My cat is sleeping so beautifully right now. Wow. Okay. Again, this is a bonus episode, so you get some fun interjections. Hee. So Altez primarily played a flute with four valves like Tulu and only later changed to the Bay model. He enrolled as a student at the Paris Conservatoire in 1840 and studied with Tulu. He was first flutist at Orchestre de l'Opéra National de Paris, and he taught Georges Barrère and Adolphe Honnebain. Some of the works from his tenure include a work by Tulu, by himself, and in 1871 there was apparently no Concours. I'm going to do a quick search of why that would be. So perhaps why there was not a Concours in 1871... We had the Franco-Prussian War going on, and also, an interesting thing I didn't know about, the Paris Commune, which was a French revolutionary government that seized power in Paris in March of 1871 and controlled parts of the city until May of 1871. That may have been why we missed out on Concours that year. Continuing on, we had several works by Tulu and Altez, almost going back and forth, like in 1880 Altez, 1881 Tulu, 1882 Altez, 1883 Tulu, etc. But then we had some de Meursemin in there as well, which I think is kind of interesting. And finally, after Altez, we finally get to Paul Taffanel, the father of flute playing, the founder of the French flute school, who studied with Daru at the Paris Conservatoire, reestablished the flute in mainstream music, founded Société de Musique de Chambre pour Instruments of Vent in 1879. His dedications include the Frey Fantasy, the Vidor Suite, Enesco, Cantabile, and Presto. Tchaikovsky was going to write him a flute concerto, but unfortunately Tchaikovsky died instead of writing the concerto. Rip. He was a chief conductor at the Paris Opera and the Société du Concert du Conservatoire, revived Bach in the flute repertoire, sparked an interest in early music in France, and he played on the BAME model of the flute. We are so lucky. We are so lucky that Paul Taffanel came around, because I fear that it's possible the BAME flute wouldn't have taken off, right? There was... Tulu and his besties were not super into it, and it took a while for them to get into it. And Paul Taffanel being like, guys, this is the vibe for sure. Look how great this is. I can found a whole French flute school on this flute. Really gave us the flute that we have today. So thank you, Paul Taffanel. And this has been a bonus episode. Again, at the beginning, I read excerpts from The French Flute School by Claude Dorgueil. Such a difficult last name for English speakers to pronounce. But if you're able to find that book, I highly recommend it. My university library doesn't have it, but I was able to get it for a period of time on an interlibrary loan. So I would try to do that. I highly, highly recommend it. And then read it, take very detailed notes, and we will continue onward. So today we've read the first chapter. We've gone over some professors and Concours leading up to Paul Taffanel. And we've learned a little bit about how the new flute was received. This has been a bonus episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Colleen McCracken. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Bye-bye.